Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 2.
All right, well, welcome to another episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers podcast. I'm joined today by my good buddy, Nick Guy, who has graciously joined me. So thanks for coming, Nick.
Yeah, dude, anytime, Joel. Anytime you need me.
Yeah, I know, anytime. I will totally call upon you.
Oh, yes.
This is, once again, this is just a podcast. It's about craft beer. Generally tends to be localized geographically to Southern California, but we try all sorts of stuff from everywhere. And we try to be as non-highfalutin as possible about this stuff, you know?
So you just, you know, what does that mean exactly?
It just means like down to earth.
Okay, I got down to
realistic,
earth.
Realistic,
okay,
cool, you
know? Cool. That works for me.
So since this is actually the first time I've had a podcast with you, I'm going to do just regular. I have some questions I'd like to ask everybody.
Yeah, go for it.
Pretty easy. How did you get started? Like craft beer?
Dude, I grew up in San Marcos, kind of like on the border of Escondido. I mean, Stone was always in my backyard. I was kind of like one of those bad kids with a sister. Or actually like one of my best friend's sisters. Turned 21 when everyone else was like a little bit younger. So I had like the luxury of strolling through a grocery store and seeing all the cool stuff on the shelf. And just being like, hey, can I try this week? Can I try that this week? Can I try new things? But like I've always kind of been the kid that goes into like the grocery store with my mom and try like what's new on the shelf? What's that new drink? What's that new juice? What's there? So beer was just kind of like a natural progression of like, hey, this is cool. What's new? And what's next? What's something? What's the next thing I can put in my body that tastes amazing?
Cool. Okay, yeah. I can relate to that for sure. Although I have a younger brother and two younger sisters, so I was always the one who had to set the role model for them.
Ooh, yeah.
My parents totally made me put the pressure on me for that.
Well, you can always be the bad kid, you know. Once you're the bad kid and you show everyone else, like, don't be the bad kid.
Yeah, I definitely edged on that a little bit. But enough about me. So can you describe the moment that you're like your palate expanded? Was there a moment that you were like you suddenly had a light bulb go off? You're like, whoa, this is like my palate is changing.
Indeed, I did. For me, it was I was going around like kind of like bottle hunting kind of in the days when I was kind of just looking around for new beers, just finding out about like Pliny and how just distribution of beers to bottle shops work and how to like go to different places, find unique things and cool stuff like that. So I was over at Pizza Port a lot over on Carlsbad. The Carlsbad Boulevard, like the downtown location. And I went over to Texas Wine and Spirits right down the street.
Oh, yeah. Texas.
I was just getting into the brewery and I didn't know anyone in the Reserve Society or anything like that. So it was hard for me to find bottles. So I was just going through stuff and then I kind of saw how they had like a mix of different brewery bottles in their shelf. So I kind of went through and I found I think this was like maybe like 2013, like one of the original batches of Filmish-Mish. It was like overpriced. Oh. It was like $45 or something, but like it didn't. No one in the public got to see it. I couldn't trade for it. I couldn't find it. I was still kind of understanding how trading worked. And I went and I tried that, and I didn't understand how sour it was supposed to be or how fruity it was supposed to be. And after I tried that, it kind of just like changed my mind forever. I was like, damn. That's that moment where, wow, beer can taste like this. Like, why don't people understand this? Like, I love this. This is fantastic. Yeah. But where are those other people that actually love that stuff? Like, that's fantastic. Everyone needs to try it.
So that's pretty interesting. Filmish-Mish was one of those beers that, like, flipped the switch for you, kind of like you had that moment.
I never expected it to be that sour, that fruity. It was just like, I thought, okay, cool. This is like a cool, fruited, different beer. Okay, I get it. And then I tried it and kind of opened my mind to sours and funkier and kind of like lambic-style beers in general, so...
So I kind of feel like in the grand scheme of beer at large, sour beers are kind of out there in terms of like where people kind of wind up as an entry point for getting into craft beer, like sour beers, and then to top it all off, like a fruited sour with like Filmish-Mish is with apricots, right?
Yeah, apricots.
That's definitely a very distinct. Like a beer to do.
Yeah,
that
well,
to
you. I've always been about like big and like obtruse, kind of just big and huge flavors that are kind of aggressive and kind of just that kind of just blow you away. So it's like when you go and have a smoothie, you want to go have like a great, amazing tropical mango smoothie. Sure, you have a little bit of almond milk, but you don't want like something bland and easy drinking, kind of like a normal beer. Yeah. I want something that's going to blow my mind or just change the way that you think about things. And that's kind of like how I still buy beer and how I kind of think about beer today.
Interesting. Okay. So now that you're into craft beer, you're in kind of you're in the scene, what have you.
Yeah.
What's like something that bothers you or bugs you or you're annoyed by in the craft beer scene? What's something you're like, like
craft beer Illuminati? For real. No, like seriously. So,
is that real? Is that a real thing?
I think it exists.
I thought it was just mythical.
I think it exists. It's mythical. It's still like no one has confirmation, but it's still probably out there somewhere. I'm looking at you. You're there.
Maybe they're tuning in.
Really what's kind of fucking me up is kind of just like the scene about kind of just trading. It's like dollar for dollar versus rarity versus everything. I feel like it's almost kind of just ruining beer where it's like other people's scenes are like grown past where San Diego has been. San Diego in the past couple of years has been amazing. I still love San Diego. I still drink so many beers here in San Diego. I still love all these brewers. But it's like we've gotten to a point where it's so big that we have so much saturation where we can go and buy like a cool beer every weekend.
Yeah.
Where it's like these people have releases where they go out like once a month and that's all they get the entire month. And then in order to trade for those beers, we have to give up so much in order to get that single beer or something like that.
Okay.
It's almost where it's like oversaturation because it's like it goes back to like right now with me in the Vale, like I collect cat beers and I'm all about cat beers and I'm trying to get this Vale beer.
Cat beers. Yes. Beers with cats on them.
I can't trade for it because it's so hard to get. It's like I have to go trade someone else to get something else to get something else. And I don't want to do that. I want to just share beer with cool people and enjoy awesome beers.
So is it okay? Okay. I think I heard what you're saying. So it's kind of like the hyper commoditization of some of the rarer stuff or the quote unquote the beer that's like hard to get, hard to access, and people are kind of like walling it off, turning it into like a special access type deal where they can try and demand goodies that otherwise.
You're on the right track. I feel like my main issue is it's like I don't want fear of missing out, but like when I do miss out, I just hope the beer that just really sucks.
FOMO.
I hope that like I feel like that's the actual opposite FOMO. Where it's like if you don't get the beer, this beer just sucks all the time. But if you get it, don't worry about fear of missing out. But if you don't get it, it's just a shitty beer.
It's just it's water under the bridge or over the dam or something like that.
No.
So okay, having said that, now what's the best thing about the craft beer scene, the industry, what's like your most favorite thing?
Dude,
about it?
My favorite thing about like beer in general and the industry is like the same thing that I tell like everyone whenever I'm going around, like even going to like bars and just drinking beers with people. It's about the community. It's about like talking to people, trading with people, making weird connections, even if it's just through beer, or just like you meet like a random guy here or there, and then all of a sudden
weird connections. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like you meet them again, like 2 months later, or you run into them again. Like I ran into this guy Anthony like multiple times, just like going to normal places, normal releases, normal stuff that I do. And it's just you meet new people. They do cool things. You kind of expand. You collaborate. You kind of learn new things. It's really cool. It's just like, it's small. It's big, but it's super small at the same time. It's really nice.
There's a lot of the community is like super. It's super supportive because it's all the people who are into it for various reasons, but they all have like a strong like why behind it, you know, that drives them. What's a brewery that right now you're super stoked on, like everyone should try to get a beer?
I mean,
from,
are you talking like
fill in the blank.
Local, like you're talking San Diego or just in general?
Anything in general. Doesn't have to be local.
Right now, just, you know, the Vale's knocking my socks like everyone else right now. I feel like I just joined some Vale trading groups. But like I've been trying, like I tried a lot of the crucial taunts and the crucial name. That alone, like also like, you know, the brewer Catboy on Instagram, I think it's like @catboy_.
Mm-hmm,
awesome, doing cool stuff. I love like everything he's doing, and I'm just like, I want him to just leave the veil and just do everything cat themed. That'd be fucking fantastic. Or just like start his own brand, just do everything cat themed. That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
And all their beers are cool. Like sour, I haven't had any stouts from them. I've had a really good Never Aloha. That was really good. That was like a fruit punch sour.
It was a Goza, yeah.
A Goza, excuse me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then their IPAs have just been super solid. Catboy, just a single double IPAs, all Simcoe hops. Fantastic. Loved it. Wasn't like cat piss, even though like that's kind of what happens with Simcoe.
So
it was delicious.
So then if you had to pick a beer from the Vale, what's one beer that just everyone should have from the Vale? Can you pick one?
I think it was Crucial Taunt Cubed.
Crucial Taunt Cubed.
Is that one?
So
that
like, was it a three? Three is cubed.
Yeah.
Crucial Taunt Cubed.
That's the one that I had. That I thought was really good.
Dang. I haven't even had that one.
It was delicious.
I need to get it sometime.
It was super hopped up, but it was super well balanced, and it didn't like leave any burn or anything like that. And it was like
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so Where do you see the craft beer industry going next? Like, what's something on the horizon? Something, what's something you see coming up?
Beer's cool, man, but it's all about mead, man.
Oh, mead.
Yeah, 100%.
So not craft beer. You're talking about craft mead, which I don't even know if there's any commercial mead, really, if you think about it. Like,
I mean, it's few and far between. There's a few good like meaderies out there that I'm really like liking what's coming out. Like, I'm sure there's some out there that I haven't tried that, you know, are doing great stuff too. But right off the bat, like Superstition out of Arizona, they're doing some fun stuff.
Okay, Superstition.
Gargeist, I believe. That's how it's said.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. They're from Tampa, though.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, Florida. Tampa, Florida. Okay. Yeah. They're just set to open up. I'm still trying to figure out how they're releasing their bottles and stuff. But like my number one favorite for sure, like hands down, is Schramm's. Schramm's Mead out of Michigan.
Ferndale, Michigan.
Oh, they do amazing
stuff.
Like,
Detroit.
Because like really like the meads that I really like and I think are going to be like super popular are kind of like wine-based, fruit-based kind of like meads where it's like they're ageable for 15 plus years. You can keep them in your cellar. They can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're collectible and tradable. There's estates kind of like how Napa has. It's going to be the same thing. It's kind of just like that's how it's going to be in like the next like as craft beer gets popular. Like craft beer is already super popular and it's still growing. And don't get me wrong. Craft beer is going to be here forever. But there's going to be like a leveling off point where it's like people want to drink more stuff. And I'm all for more variety. And like if something else comes along that's better than me, put it in my glass, man.
Sweet. All right. Well, thanks, Nick. Thanks for joining me on this program. We're going to do some tastings here coming up in a minute. But before we do that, how can anyone follow you? Are you on Instagram or like how can people get a hold of you and discover more of your escapades?
I mean, I have my personal Instagram, but I just started up a beer Instagram. It's called Beer Shire Cat, B-E-E-R Shire Cat, kind of like Cheshire Cat.
Cool.
I'm kind of just popping up, drinking beers, taking pictures of random beers. Like I go on a lot of beer hikes now and stuff like that. And kind of just, if you see me at an event, come say hi. Maybe I'll have something in my trunk I can kind of just give you for free. Because you found
beers.
Me because I'm fucking disappearing left and right, man.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And so all that will be in the show notes, by the way, too. So if you missed any of that, just go to the show notes on our website. And you'll find all that information. Now you can follow Nick and his escapades.
Yes.
And clue him into more cat-themed beers and beer glasses because he is a total...
Seriously, if anyone has one, DM me, let me know. I will trade you way more than you need.
He loves cats.
Oh, yeah, slide in that DM.
Slide his DMs.
Oh, God. All right, thanks, guys.
Meow.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for being on today.
We can't cheers with an empty glass.
So we'll cheers with one that's got something in it. So,
how about a little bit of mead, man? I have some of this.
So we're gonna do tasting notes on this up next. Actually,
yeah,
this is Superstition Meaderies.
Schramm's or not Schramm's? Superstition.
No,
excuse
Superstition.
Me. I brought this. I'm messing
from
about.
Arizona. From Prescott, Arizona. This is Berry White, the blueberry. Berry White version.
Yeah, from this last release. So it's blueberries.
2016 release, yeah.
Yeah, blueberries, white chocolate, and Arizona wildflower honey. Really big, really bold, about, I think it's like 13.5%. So it's up there. Super big fruit, big booze, big everything.
So this is mead. This is mead with Pleasant Strangers right now, or Pleasant Friends, rather. Not beer. And...
not beer, but it's pretty close.
It smells like, to me, it smells a little bit like root beer.
Dude, I get like straight Crayola crowns. I get straight like, you're opening like a new box and you're just like waxiness, a little bit of like.
Did you say crayons?
I get that Crayola. Crayola
is it crayons. Crowns or crayons? Or
crayons.
Just have crayons. A Crayola. Did I just say Crayola?
Our director of photography is now questioning the pronunciation of the word crayon.
I'm just going to get something like out right now. Crayon. I pronounce everything wrong. But like, it's cool.
It just smells like, it reminds me of like a cola on the nose, I should say. I haven't tasted it.
See, I kind of get almost like a grapiness too. It's like kind of like Crayola, crayons, and Concord grapes.
Okay, Concord grapes is actually a pretty good note for, that's actually kind of interesting because I grew up on Concord grape jelly and jam.
Welch's?
Yep, Welch's. But Welch's is owned by Smucker's, I believe.
Yeah, Smucker's and Welch's, I believe. Same.
And Smucker's is based in Ohio. And Concord grapes are actually a staple that's grown on on the islands in Lake Erie, the Great Lakes.
Oh, wow.
They grow them. There's actually a winery up there on the Middle Bass Island.
Do you know the number one community that consumes Concord grapes?
I don't know. The Iroquois?
Actually, very good guess, Joel. But the Jewish community do to Passover, because it's either grape juice or wine.
Oh.
And that's usually the grape juice of choice because it's so cheap.
Oh. Okay.
You can probably edit that out. No racism.
Sorry for anyone who's...
I heard that in NPR. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I lost track.
It's from NPR. There you go. You heard it first. If you're Orthodox or Hasidic or... I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No offense meant. We're just... but still...
Okay. But back to superstition.
Back to this. This beer... Or beer. It's not beer. It's a mead. Gosh, man, it like makes me think of, it teleports me back to like my grandma's kitchen when she would make a cheesecake, not the New York style. She would make like a soft, fluffy cheesecake with a graham cracker crust with some kind of like pie filling on top. Usually it was like a cherry pie filling, but sometimes she made it with a blueberry pie filling. And this is what it's making me think of. It's making me think of blueberry pie filling, cheesecake, graham cracker crust, like confection. It's just so like sweet, and it has that... It's almost like a ferment. It is fermented, obviously. It has a little bit of that, like.
I just keep getting wax and fruit and sweet.
It's got a little bit of that aged fruit. It's just like decomposed fruit. So, yeah. Yeah.
When you taste it, though, it kind of just explodes, though. It's kind of just like.
It does. It's so.
It's
so rich.
Yeah, super rich. And a little bit acidic, too, kind of just like acidic, sweet, strong, rich, fruity.
Like if I was just squeezing out jelly filling from a donut into my mouth, like I can imagine this would be close approximation.
Do you get much like white chocolate or anything like that? Like am I only getting white chocolate as like the waxiness on the nose or?
Okay, now that you're saying that, I could totally like see the white chocolate element of it, but I think that's the finish. I think that's partly I'm interpreting as like a cream cheese or like a cheesecake cream filling could also be interpreted as a creamy white chocolate, like it's got like a buttery, smooth,
definitely
like aspect to it. It's not an off flavor. It's not like something weird, or it's not like a dairy lactose or anything like that. It's just creamy.
Do you get like honey like flavor? Do you taste like honey, or do you just taste sweetness?
No, I do taste honey, but it's like far, far down the list of other flavors that I taste. Like honey is there, but up front I would say it's berries, just berries. Like I wouldn't peg it as blueberries specifically.
No, I wouldn't either. Like it could be any berry. It could be blackberry. It could be blackcurrant for all I know.
It would be a dark berry. Yeah. A mulberry.
Boysenberry.
Yeah, Marionberry is a good one too. And then after that, I get. I think that after that I get a creamy, like, whipped cream type of sweetness, and then after that I get. I get a little bit of like earthy flavors, and then I would say the honey, if I would characterize it as like that honey sweetness, which is honey is weird because it's like technically an unrefined sugar, although when you're getting it from the store, you know, it has been refined somewhat, but it hasn't been radically altered, right, from its original state. Like,
I mean, it's changed and it's heated. Like, what's cool about, like, these honeys are, like, they're all kind of, like, sourced from the farmer. So it's, like, the most natural, the most raw, the most, like, high quality kind of, like, even, like, because a big thing about mead is, like, any part of, like, the actual, the flowers or any part of it where, like, the bee actually harvests any of the actual, that pollen will come through in the flavor of the honey. If you heat that honey, if you process that honey and you get that honey in grocery stores and, like, the plastic bear or something like that, it actually reduces those flavors. Reduces the antioxidants, reduces like the pollen, like actually like honey itself. If you eat, like if you have allergy problems and you eat the honey that's from your local area, it'll actually gradually help you actually get over the kind of those allergies. You'll kind of build immunity to it. It's really cool. So I feel like they use really cool Arizona honey. I feel like I really don't get like a really strong honey flavor. Hmm. Like it's kind of just like a sweetness. What's really forward to me is kind of just like berry skins. It's not really like berry juice. It's not really jam. It's kind of just like skinny, but like, don't get me wrong, I would totally bathe in this. I would totally like, if someone gave me like a gallon of this for like my honeymoon, I would just be like, I would be in bliss. But yeah, it just, it's, I can't believe that they actually can get away for like selling these bottles for like $85 a pop. Yeah, that's the only thing that kind of gets for me. Like, I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy to trade. It's actually, it is a 500 milliliter, so it's not a 375. So that's better. But it's still hard to kind of bite that bullet, especially if you're trying to buy a full set.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, thanks for sharing, man. This is this has been very like fascinating. Like, mead is one of those things that I do agree with you. It's on the horizon. There's a lot to be done with mead, and there's a few that are places in the United States that are really innovating, and it's still the wild, wild west in many ways, and it's really good. And it's different, though. It's totally different. It's totally different from beer in the sense that you got a 500 milliliter bottle that you can stick a cork back in. You can keep drinking it for over the course of a week.
Oh, totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And nor should you be expected to kill an entire bottle in one evening.
No.
I mean, that would be unreasonable. You know, but we are getting close to it right now.
Yeah, I mean, still like a quarter, maybe.
Still got a good, decent amount left in there. But it's something that's an expression of a fermentable, you know,
The fermentable world.
The fermentable world that's
kombucha. It's not kombucha. It's not beer. It's not wine.
It's something that's people are doing interesting, innovative things with, and people are interested in having it. I'm certainly interested in trying more of these after this one. This is the first of the berry whites that I've ever had, and I understand there are others.
There's a raspberry, a strawberry, okay. And then a blackberry. Yeah, blackberry
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So, I mean, this has piqued my interest in the rest of them. So, thanks for sharing. Thanks for being on.
Dude,
so,
my pleasure. Thank
we'll
you.
Do some more tastings here coming up in a little bit. Until next time, don't be a stranger.